Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Accepted's founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Welcome to the 393rd episode of Admission Straight Talk. Thanks for joining me. It's now late November, and many of you are aiming to submit your applications for the early January round two deadlines for an MBA. Are you competitive at your target schools? Accepted's MBA admissions calculator can give you a quick reality check. Just go to accepted.com/MBA quiz, complete the quiz, and you'll not only get an assessment of your chances, but tips on how to improve your qualifications. Plus, it's all free. Again, use the calculator at accepted.com/MBA quiz to obtain that free assessment and tips for improvement. And of course, if you're applying for next cycle or round three, take the assessment now, and those tips will help you even more. Our guest today, James Chance, graduated from the University of Bristol in 2011 with a degree in mechanical engineering. He then worked as a strategy consultant for Accenture UK until he joined Google in 2016. He earned his MBA at London Business School in 2019, which is where he also launched Yourself.online, his startup. We're going to learn more about James's MBA path and experience, as well as about the launching of Yourself Online and how it can help you maintain your privacy. James, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thanks very much for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. And congratulations on your MBA. I don't think it's too distant. I can still congratulate you, right?
Thank you very much. Yes, it feels like really not so long ago now, even though it's just over a year. It's amazing how time flies.
All right. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, where you grew up? What do you like to do for fun?
Sure. So I grew up in central London, just grew up near, not too far from the city, the financial district, right in the centre, near quite close to St. Paul's. That was sort of is a real eye-opener in terms of this kind of very fast-paced world. And growing up in, you know, I was fortunate enough to, from that, experience a lot of things, sort of the arts, culture, sort of different businesses, all the different sort of sites as a kid and as a teenager. And that then led to me, you know, then when I reached, you know, towards the end of secondary school, then deciding I wanted to get out of London and going to University of Bristol and sort of as a change of scenery and my kind of career from there. And then in terms of, you know, in terms of what I like to do for fun, I've always been really passionate about traveling, both traveling. I was fortunate enough to have a few occasions where I've traveled for work and worked in different countries, US, Australia, but then also done more kind of adventure travels as well. I was fortunate enough when I was with a friend of mine in 2011, after I graduated from college, I drove halfway around the world from London to Mongolia.
Wow.
In a car we bought on eBay for just under $1,000 on a thing called, it's an adventure called the Mongol Rally, which was great fun. And I've always been kind of trying to find, you know, those sorts of, not quite as adventurous, but kind of trips that are a little bit off the beaten track then after. But unfortunately, that's all on hold this year, but big plans for next year, hopefully.
What are your plans for next year?
Next year, post-pandemic, I'd really like to do more of South America. It's not really somewhere I've explored much. I'd really like to do some of the Argentina, Brazil, bits of Peru as well.
My nephew went to Patagonia and the pictures were spectacular.
Oh, it looks incredible. It looks really, yeah. Really, really cool.
Now let's get more professional here, okay? It's a lot more fun to talk about Patagonia and trips to Mongolia, but let's talk profession for a second. You
sure.
Worked as a strategy consultant for Accenture for almost 4 years and then for Google as an analytical consultant. And some people have told me that working for Google is like having an MBA, not to mention working for Accenture. Now, in addition, on the side, you also worked in e-commerce for a family business in Norway. With all these different experiences, why did you decide you wanted or needed an MBA?
Good question. So I first started to think about doing an MBA when I was in consulting, and this is something throughout really. And one of my main motivator was I had come into business coming from an engineering background, so coming from a technical background where my kind of quantitative skills and analytical skills were good, but I didn't have that much grounding in terms of finance, management, stuff like that. And I was fine for probably the first, I would say, first few years of my career. But I found when I was most notably at Google, I was fortunate enough to be brought into some really high profile meetings with some of their senior clients, so the CMOs of some of the largest e-commerce companies in the world and stuff like that. Yeah. fantastic experience. But I was sitting at some of these meetings and I was just like, I don't know how you work out marketing ROI or, you know, some of these things. There were things that I just didn't have the fundamental business knowledge around of. And because I could do the quant, I could do the maths and things like that and solve problems. But seeing that actually, you know, there were broader things I'd like to really expand my skill base at and expand my kind of fundamental background knowledge. And then on top of that, I'd always had throughout my business days a kind of back burner of list of ideas that I'd kind of maintained in an old notebook or, you know, back of my diary of things, of little business ideas I had for different things. And I thought, well, is there an opportunity that I can also find a course that will allow me to explore some of these ideas at the same time? And that was, you know, one of the things that kind of led me to, you know, sealing the deal on applying for an MBA.
Okay, great. Are you glad you did it now that you're on the other end of
it? Oh, definitely. I think the time to have 2 years for, you know, really focused self-development and also being in an environment where you're around fantastic people is just, there's like nothing else of it. And it's quite self-indulgent. I'm very glad I did it. And I think feeling that, you know, the investment is worthwhile and really glad I spent the time as well.
Great. Let's think back though to when you applied. Was there anything particularly challenging about the application process for you?
I think the thing that the application process did take me a while, and I sort of spent quite a lot of time on research. And I really, you know, the bit that I found that really helped and the bit that I sort of struggled with, but then I had this kind of eureka moment of making sure that everything fitted together into a really coherent and cohesive story.
And that was the thing
that I sort of realized was just that feeling that, you know, you've got to obviously first understand the schools that you resonate with, but also aligned with the journey you're trying to take. And also then being able to package that into a coherent story that makes sense. And, you know, somebody can read on an application that they're just like, I get it. And it kind of, you know, you can see where you're going now and how the school will get you there. And I think that was one of the things that I had this kind of eureka moment with when the penny dropped on that. That wasn't initially clear at first, but when I actually started to think more about it and get feedback on the applications was a real takeaway for me.
That is so important. I sometimes like to say the application is like a jigsaw puzzle and every element should fit together like a jigsaw puzzle. But it creates a portrait or a picture, a painting of the applicant. That's the ideal. So that was a really was a eureka moment for you.
Totally. And I think the more, you know, some of the more pragmatic schools really look at it like that in terms of they're looking at it for, you know, where's this person going? Where's this person come from? How does our experience get them there? And there is, to a certain extent, no one, it's not a case of putting tick box answers in things. It's actually how it all hangs together.
Right. What did you like best about London Business School and your experience there?
It has to be by far the international mix. So we had over 70 different nationalities. And as a Brit and a kind of a domestic student, I was almost like in a minority. From memory, we had something like about 30 Brits in our class of about 400. So we're less than 10%. And you know, to still be in the UK and also have this fantastic mix of people from these just such diverse backgrounds and kind of mixed in a way that, you know, with the way the classes were organized and the way the study groups were organized, you just have this really super diverse experience. And, you know, I was, for example, in my study group, I had everyone from a gentleman from Korea, a lady from Peru, a lady from the US, a guy from India and a guy from Spain. It's just a fantastic mix. That was probably, you know, having that kind of international mix and melting pot was really amazing.
That's great. Thank you. What would you have liked to see improved while you were at London Business School?
Good question. It's funny, when you're there at the time, you sort of naturally grumble about things when you're on a course, and then you kind of come out and look at it afterwards and actually was like, yeah, they did a pretty good job about that in the circumstances. I think one thing that they could do better at is really managing allocations of electives. So when you go into the second year and you have the elective portfolio, that's open to all the other programs. So it's open to at an MBA level, so executive MBAs, and in some cases, some of them, it's a master's in management. And then you find with that, some of the courses get really oversubscribed, and they could do a better job at actually trying to manage that demand, I would say, sometimes. But it just means that you have to be mindful in your second year about if you are really wanting to do a certain course amount, you either have to optimize for your courses or your time, and making that choice. You can't do both.
Yeah, great. Now, you started working on yourself.online, your startup, in May 2018, while a first-year student at London Business School. How did London Business School help you get yourself.online off the ground?
That's a good story, how it all came about. So I had this idea, this bunch of different ideas, and the first term I was there, I started to meet a few people that were kind of entrepreneurially minded, and we'd met a few kind of entrepreneurship clubs events. We then kind of got together after class and sort of would be kicking around ideas on a whiteboard and thinking about how we can look at them and things like that. Then in the beginning of our second term and first year, they had a hackathon competition. It was about a week or two before the competition. And one of my friends said, hey, you should really enter one of your ideas in here and just see how it goes. And one of those things of, do you tell people about it or do you go and do it? And, for me, the opportunity to road test something like that at some of the events they organized was fantastic. So I went to the hackathon event format, where you sort of, if you're pitching an idea, you sort of pitch an idea at the beginning, and there was about 50 people there. And I stood on stage and said my 30-second pitch of what I think this crazy idea of this idea for the product, and then I was fortunate enough that we got voted into one of the ideas for the competition, and then I found a couple of other students during the event that we worked together, and then we pitched it at the end, and were fortunate enough to win £3,000 from that. And moreover, the validation of the judges and other students and some of the research we've done, that actually this is a problem that should spend a bit more time looking at and working on. And then from that, then I took the idea to a program that LBS runs as an elective over the summer between first year and second year, called Entrepreneurship Summer School. And this is a hybrid kind of course of lectures and mentoring and presentations. And the idea is it's really a structured kind of road test of a business idea. We all kind of so everyone in the class, there's about 50 of us, got together in the first week. And we'd have a series of kind of lectures, and then we'd be introduced to a mentor that would be assigned. And then we'd have a couple of weeks to go away and do some research and then come back for some more lectures. And then at the end, we'd do a final presentation. The aim of this presentation was really to say, is this a viable idea or not? And they're encouraged to both, prove and disprove the hypotheses. And then from there, and that really gave them some more validation and gave some structure for 6 weeks to really work at researching the idea and kind of validating it. And then fortunate then to then think about how I then could then spend some more time after first year and actually think about how I did my courses to try and work on the idea first. So after the idea some more.
So you were getting validation both from professors and from students, both through this course and outside of this course, correct? And suggestions, yes. I assume also suggestions to refine your idea?
Totally. And I think there was a real focus on the course for looking to try and get external research and, do as many customer interviews as you could do. I think over the course of that summer, I must have spoken to almost 50 people about the idea in some form, about, different people who sit in different customer groups or things like that. And it was, a very, very valuable kind of experiential sort of approach to testing out a business.
And did London Business School play any role in preparing you to both compete and ultimately win the South by Southwest March 2019 pitch competition? And if so, how?
It did. So it was very fortunate that through my time at London Business School, I also did an exchange at the University of Texas in Austin. That was where I sort of took the idea and that gave me an opportunity to sort of connect with the US tech ecosystem and actually really try and develop the idea, make connections there. And was fortunate enough through that the pitch competition there is actually, so they have a number of different pitch competitions, and this was one for students and graduate students, and was fortunate enough then to be invited back to present at that and represent LBS. And which was fantastic. And I think in terms of the help that, apart from setting me up, I think some of the classes I'd taken both at LBS and also in UT, just in terms of things like business plan, business modeling, new startup development, there's definitely quite a lot of theory that had definitely gone into that pitch and kind of helped set me up for it. I remember the week before I went out to South By last year, I was sort of running around school trying to practice my 5-minute presentation with anyone who could see it. And I was sort of booked a meeting room And it's amazing, you know, the power of the network and the power of the class. Some of the people I managed to rope in to help was phenomenal. I remember I was sitting there with a girl called Camilla, who's now one of my good friends. Barely really knew each other, and she volunteered to help because she was part of the corporate communications team at Twitter, and it helped some of coaching some of their executives doing their big kind of presentation.
Oh, wow, so. Sure.
And then I had also somebody who came from an acting background and did some coaching as well. And it's amazing, you know, how it comes back to how diverse a school it was, you know, how you can find these people from these different backgrounds. And you know, partly also everyone's pretty, when you sort of make the request and say, hey, I need some help with this. It's amazing the number of people that would put their hands up and kind of say, hey, like, I can help you in this way, which was really cool.
That is great. Thank you. Other question I had before we get to yourself.online specifically is, did you know you wanted to start a business when you arrived at London Business School? Or is that something that kind of you thought about doing after you left, or did you know you wanted to do it at all?
I had these ideas, and at the stage of kind of going to applying for the MBA, they were very much the sort of like the list in the back of a notebook and the back of my diary and some other things here and there. And I had an idea of, yeah, I think it would be cool to check one of these out. I think at the time I'd gone into the MBA primarily saying, how can I try and gain skills and connections to really accelerate my career further? And the new business kind of validation, the new business research bit on the side was saying, okay, well, I'm going to plan for plan A, look at plan B. And if I see something that's actually got legs here, let's do that. But I want to make sure that if I'm going to start a business after LBS or after doing MBA, I want to really make sure that I've spent the time researching it and I'm comfortable to make the investment in terms of my time and the opportunity cost on the back of doing an MBA. And I think it is something that, you know, you've got to be upfront with people about, is that, you know, you have your friends that will go and start these new consulting jobs at BCG or Bain or everything, and they'll be sitting there with their startup bonuses and their all of their branded merch and their new Patagonia gear and all of that stuff and their nice salaries, and you're like, oh well, I've just raised some investment and I can just about afford to pay myself something. But actually, to be fair, my investors are realistic about how doing an MBA means you do have certain costs that you need to pay back and financial loans and all that sort of stuff. So my investors actually fairly pay me a reasonable, we can pay myself a reasonable amount, but there is a big trade-off compared to, you know, the other potential salaries. And it's something you just need to be sure of before you jump into it. At least I thought.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Now, this is the question that we've kind of danced around, and that is, what is yourself.online? Do you call it yourself.online? Do you call it YO? How do you normally refer to it? And what does it do?
We call it yourself online. And we normally drop the dot in the middle, but either ones work. I mean, our brand name and our website is just yourself.online. And we're a service to help individuals manage their online privacy and their online persona. And this is what we do, is we help people understand what is the information that's about them on different social media websites, on different accounts, on different data brokers, things like that. What is the understanding of their public and also their private online footprint? And what are some of the things they can do to manage that and also to monitor it as well? The idea behind it was something I saw when I was working in tech beforehand, was starting to see that the sort of lives people live online and the trail they leave behind is actually more and more being used to make deductions about who they are. And this was, you know, what I was starting to see was these new kind of services that were being used to vet people. So trying to find all the information on a person and then try to make a decision about, you know, whether they could be a good applicant for a job or insurance or credit, or even more broadly things, you know, trying to figure out somebody's personality by behind what they leave behind on the web. And thought, this is just crazy, because, you know, people are being judged by things that, you know, maybe they've forgotten about or they don't know is out there. They're not aware of the control they could have about it, or even in some cases they need more control. And this was the sort of the motivator for setting up the business and kind of what we've sort of been working on. And our vision is really to say, how can we build a service that is, you know, a consumer service that puts as customers at the heart of what we do, that's transparent and trustworthy, that helps people to manage the information they share on the web.
And what does it cost? You get on your phone, on your computer?
Yeah, so we launched in April of this year. Our current pricing is $39, and that includes 6 months usage. And that's upfront, you know, access to it. And what do people get? it's an online service on the web, and you basically get an online dashboard of where you're able to manage your different social media accounts, review for any potentially damaging content, find and manage old accounts, and then also check for involvement in any data breaches as well. So, you know, where potentially an old account of yours has been compromised and your details are out there.
Yeah, I know that one of the things that applicants should be worried about, I'm not sure they always are, is their social media accounts. If they are public, then there's nothing stopping, and admissions committee members do Google applicants, and so do potential employers. We're not talking about them hacking anything. They're looking at what's public, and some of what's public may not be something that you want them to see. So it's really important to see what's publicly available about you out there. There are other companies out there on the web that promise to protect privacy or audit social media. What is different and better about yourself online?
It's really twofold. So we're looking to build a product that is more holistic, so that, you know, has all the features people need. And in some cases, you know, when we look at some of our competitors, there's one for Twitter, or there's one that does Facebook, or there's one that does dark web breaches. So we're sort of bringing those together into one product. But then at the same time, moreover, what we're trying to do and the way we're building the company is really this being this online guardian to our customers, where we're clear, we're transparent. We're not intimidating. We're not trying to build a service that, you know, will intimidate you into paying. We have a free preview function that people can use to see. We have a lot of information on our blog pages as well. You know, a lot of advice that we're trying to put out into the market, and really trying to be that sort of trusted guardian that is, you know, we're just kind of clear and transparent and open and helping people to manage this problem, rather than necessarily being scary or intimidating like some of our competitors are.
All right. And it also sounds to me like you're trying to be more comprehensive than most of the other ones.
Exactly. And giving people the tools that we think they need.
And is yourself online available anywhere in the world, or in the United States or Europe, or where?
It is available anywhere. We mainly focus on the main social media networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We operate across those markets. In terms of our social media review, we are mainly focused on English, an English language. We have a translation function as well, so we can do other languages, but we are primarily, in terms of the way the site is built, is primarily English language.
Okay. How do you see yourself online growing?
Sure. Happy to talk about it. In terms of our sort of journey after business school as well, was fortunate enough to, I left full-time when I graduated and been working on the, started full-time in the business after I graduated last year, was fortunate enough to close a small round of angel investment funding at the end of last year. And then we also closed a sales partnership this year. So where we're going now is we're just going into really trying to grow the business, and also close additional funding to really fund that growth. And then where I see what's next for us is moving the service beyond just being a website and into being a mobile app, and actually continuing to build out features that people that some of our customers have been asking for. We're looking to try and go beyond the existing features we have right now, to be able to say, how can we protect people as they sign up to new services, as they sign up to new accounts, protecting more of the information they share as they use the web, and actually, you know, how can we do that on an ongoing basis as well?
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there anything you would have liked me to ask you, or anything you want to add to what we've discussed?
I think one of the things I found from my time on the MBA was it's a really great, just a sort of other thoughts from our conversation that might be useful to your listeners. It's such a fantastic time for experimentation in terms of, you know, new business ideas, trying new careers, and really taking a kind of test and learn approach of saying, okay, how can I go and try this and think about how I can validate it, and then see if it's a goer. And I think that's my experience. And I think some of my friends that I've seen that have gone to do great, really good career changes, or people who have accelerated their careers, have taken this very iterative approach of saying, okay, I'm going to go try and do a short internship here, or I'm going to do these courses and try this thing, and really take that kind of experimentation approach. And then also, I think the thing that was helpful for me on the journey was really having a sort of plan that I was kind of checking myself off against as I was going through, to provide some structure. Because one of the things also I would find is that it's very much, I felt I needed to sort of give myself a plan and a bit of a map going into the MBA and when I was on the course, to provide some structure and help as I was sort of building out the business on the side. So I think that's maybe one that could be certainly a reflection I've had from the journey that might be useful to your listeners.
Thank you very much. So you're basically recommending that people kind of, on one hand, be prepared to experiment and try new things, and on the other hand, have some goals in mind to provide that structure. Is that what, am I hearing you correctly?
Exactly, and just to be able to sort of chart their own course in a way where they're they're experimenting and they're but it's pulled together to a plan towards some goals.
Right, that's excellent advice. Thank you so much for sharing that. James, I want to thank you also for joining me and sharing your MBA and entrepreneurial story with the Mission Straight Talks listeners. Where can they find out more about yourself online and protecting their privacy?
Sure. All of our materials and you can find out more information about what we do on our website, which is just yourself.online. And you're welcome to try the service. We have a free preview where you can sign up and just to try the product and actually to check your Facebook for free. And welcome any feedback as well. Please get in touch. My details are on the website.
Sounds good. Thank you again, James. And we'll link to it yourself online from the show notes at exceba.com/393. Listener, thank you too for joining James Chance and me for Mission Straight Talks 393rd episode. If you find the show worthwhile, I have a favor to ask. Please tell your friends about the podcast. Your doing so helps us spread the news about Admission Straight Talk. And quick reminder, don't miss the MBA admissions quiz. Find out if you are really ready to apply. Competitive at your target schools. Take that free quiz today at exceba.com/MBA quiz. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Excepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.